Now we join Congressman Scott Desjarlais, whose name appeared on a list that nobody really wants to see their name on. There are some lists you like to be on, other lists you don't, and this is definitely one you don't. Congressman Scott Desjarlais, good morning. Welcome
good morning.
Nashville Morning News.
Thank you, Ralph.
I know this is anything but humorous, so has the FBI told you anything more about specifically that list and what else was written with regards to that list, or is that something that you can share if they did?
Well, I haven't had an update since they first told me on Thursday morning, I believe. I plan on calling in today if they don't call me to see if there's anything else that we need to know.
Yeah. Because who knows whether this guy had any partners out there that he might have been, you know, conspiring with or cheering with that might sympathize with him and would know who to target. And of course, everybody knows now who was on the list. So do you feel like your life is in more danger than you did 2 weeks ago? And do you feel like it's in more danger because your name is on that list or just because of the atmosphere that led to what happened last week?
I think everybody is at a higher risk because of the mood of the country and the fact that in this particular case, this guy who apparently was not different than a lot of other folks who were very upset over the election and disagree with the Republican agenda has been pushed somehow over the edge to where he was willing to kill for what he believed in. And you got to believe that there's more out there that feel that way. So, you know, I think it's incumbent upon all of us to find a way to communicate better and more civilly as Americans and remember we're on the same team. But, you know, certainly I don't necessarily feel less safe. I know that ever since Gabby Gifford was killed, there was a risk from people who, you know, maybe aren't all together there or whether they just have been worked up into a frenzy of violence like this guy apparently was.
Yeah. And there are a couple of bills that would allow you and other members of Congress to arm yourselves while you're in Washington, D.C. There's a different elements in each of the bills. One would allow anybody to arm themselves while they're in Washington, D.C. if they were from a state that allowed concealed carry and they had a license to do so. The other one would apply only to members of Congress, and it would apply wherever you went around the country. Are you supporting one or the other or both, or do you know for sure?
Yeah, I haven't read the details of both of those yet. Certainly, I'm in favor of carry permits, and I'm in favor of reciprocity, so it shouldn't be too big a leap. In Washington, generally, when we're in and around our buildings, I feel pretty well protected by the Capitol Police. Their presence is everywhere. When you leave Washington or just out to a ballpark like these guys did, there is no real means to protect yourself. And thank God Scalise had a security detail or we'd be talking about probably a lot of dead colleagues, quite frankly. So, I mean, it did show that having return fire and having capability there prevented what could have been much, much worse. And so, you know, we need to look at that. But even around the district, of course, in Tennessee, I usually have somebody, I always have somebody with me when we travel that is carrying. And when we have larger events, the local police are very good about stepping in and having a uniformed presence there to help de-escalate any situation. So I know you guys are doing a show on Monday. I heard you and Michael and Phil Valentine, you'll be out. You just never know what you run into. So y'all have to be careful.
No kidding. And we will have protection there. Now, I usually agree with my friends who say whatever bill applies to members of Congress ought to apply to all of us, and whatever bill applies to all of us also apply to members of Congress. But every rule needs to have an exception. I think there can be an exception for this, too, because, frankly, I think you do face a unique danger. I think members of Congress face a danger that we don't. We all could be attacked at any time, but there's more motivation, more people motivated to attack you than there are me simply because you are a member of Congress.
Well, honestly, I guess you would be in a celebrity status. You have a lot of people that tune in and listen to you. You talk about ideals, and they're very conservative for the most part. So the same people that are upset with me, upset with Trump, upset with the election, are not going to be happy with Ralph Bristol.
But I don't have to go to I don't have to go to Washington, D.C., which won't let me carry a gun. They will. My state will let me carry a gun, and I don't have to go. I'm not obligated to go any place that doesn't allow me to carry a gun. You are.
Right. Well, I don't think there's any question we're targeting D.C., and what happened the other day proved it. Also, though, you know, we need some help from the media. They have literally developed a strategy to undermine Trump and the Republicans at every turn. And, you know, that in itself, political disagreement is okay. The Tea Party didn't agree with Barack Obama, but never did they advocate violence. Yeah. They actually looked for meaningful and peaceful discussion and debate. What we're seeing here at town halls is just literally to create violence and shout down people and talk over people and not communicate at all. And I think that some of the talk that we've been seeing in the media has led people like Hodgkinson to, you know, go off the rails and think that somehow he would be a hero if he were to take out Republicans who were going to pass this heinous health care bill, which he clearly doesn't understand. And most people didn't, because they didn't get a chance to. They just heard how awful it was going to be and how it was going to kill people and how people right. wouldn't be able to see doctors. So
exactly. And I think you put your finger on something very important. It's not the angry rhetoric that's causing people to get violent. It's the lies being told about what Republicans want to do that cause people to get angry. And some angry people express that anger in more violent ways than other angry people. But it's the lies. I mean, if I really believed that all of the members of a particular political party wanted to kill my parents, starve my children, and take all of my money to fund their own lavish lifestyles, then I too would be angry. And that's exactly what Democrats want people to believe of the Republican Party. It's that policy agenda. It's that rhetoric that's fueling anger and violence, both, in my opinion.
Right, and it's been fed over and over again in print, on radio, on television, in mainstream. It's something we haven't seen, and it's dangerous. And I was hoping that they would be a little more willing to step up and take some responsibility and accountability for this type of action. But, of course, I think it was more that the Republicans have brought this on themselves. So we've got a battle ahead of us, but we have to be more effective communicators, and the media outlets have to allow us to have a fair say.
Congressman Scott Desjarlais, thank you, sir. Be safe. We'll talk again soon. Take care.